my voice and it is a little raspy here, but we're gonna be all right, I think. In Jesus' name, God had given me a message for the church, and I would have loved to had Brother King preach or my brother preach since they're here. But how many knows when a church body hasn't heard from their pastor in 2 weeks, they need to hear from the pastor. Amen. The pastor's away for too long. You do need to hear your shepherd. So I apologize for that, but I feel like I do need to preach today. So we're going to do that in Jesus' name. I promise it's not a heavy message. It's an exciting message. It's a vibrating message. So we're going to get into the Word of God in Psalms chapter number 27. Psalms chapter number 27, starting with verse number 1, if you could stand for the reading of the Word of God. Everybody there? Some people still turning. Psalms chapter number 27, verse number 1. Reads like this: The Lord is my what? Light. And my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. And whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, come upon me to eat of my flesh, they stumbled and fell. The key verse that I want to point out here today is the Lord is my light. The Lord is my light. I'm going to preach just for a little while. If I can shift gears from this morning's messages, I'm going to preach just for a little while on the power of light. The power of light. Can we all ask God to reach in and help us right now? Dear Lord, we love you. We thank you for everything you're doing in this city, God. We ask you to reach down in this message today. Help me to do a good job for you, God, to put into these individuals what you put into me, God, that I can impart something that will draw us closer to you, that will change us and quicken us to be more like you. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said, amen. You may be seated. The power of light. I don't know if we have any scientists here. Do we have any mad scientists in the house today? Some of you, I'm sure, are critical thinkers and enjoy thinking about things. But the power of light. Light is a very powerful thing. But I want us to understand some few things about light. And I looked up, because I'm not nearly that smart. I was not Mr. Science Man. And so I went to factmonster.com, if you've ever went to any of those websites to try to figure out what some things were. And factmonster.com states that light is a very peculiar thing. It told me one in particular thing that I thought was very interesting. Number one, it said, light is not generated by itself. Light is not generated by itself. Light has to have a source. It has to have some place that it begins to take shape. Light is a type of energy known as electromagnetic radiation. It's given off by an object like the sun or a light bulb or a fire or lasers, which generates a light and then bounces it off. Light travels and develops one of three states as it goes. Now, this I found very, very interesting. There are three states of that light. Number one is it is opaque, it is reflective, or it is refracted. There's three states. When that light begins to generate, now I'll use this as an illustration. I'll never forget the night I was at my house, and I think my boy was with me. I went coon hunting that night. It was about 1:30 or 2 o'clock in the morning. It was very late at night. I pulled into the driveway. I put the dogs away, and when I coon hunt, I have a light that's on my side that literally will light up the entire neighbor. I mean, I can shine a tree clear across the field and tell if there's a coon in that tree. And it's 20-some volts, and it is very, very bright. It's like a car light. And I pulled in the driveway, and I noticed as I pulled in the driveway, there was a couple of young men that were on bicycles that was in the church lot next door, which that time I lived next to the church in Walkerton. And I noticed there was a couple of boys at 2 o'clock in the morning on bicycles next door in the parking lot. And I thought, that's a bit peculiar at 2 o'clock in the morning. that a couple little characters would be out on bicycles. I just wonder what those little fellas are up to. So me being the curious George that I am, I decided, you know what? I'm going to let my boy head into the house, and I'm just going to stand here by the truck for a little bit. They don't know I'm here, and they think I went in the house. I'm just going to stand here and see what them boys are up to. And as I was standing there next to the truck, I seen the one boy. He said, okay, let's go. I could hear them. They were talking. And they took off on that bike, and they headed towards my house. And I thought, well, this is interesting. What are they doing? I could tell they were up to something because the one on the bike was instigating the other one. I said, okay, now go, go, go. So they got right in front of my house, and they stopped. I thought, this is getting better as we go. I want to see what these guys are really up to. All of a sudden, the boy jumps off the... He was riding shotgun on the back of the bike. You know, you can ride on the pegs. And he was on the back of that bicycle, and he jumps off, and he says, okay, go, 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 go. He runs into my neighbor's yard, and they have one of those reflective balls that'll shoot light off in different angles. You know, they sit in like a pan, like a... I don't know what they're called, but they're like a globe almost, and they're about this big around. And I seen him go right to the center of the yard, and I seen him pick this thing up, this big reflective ball, and I seen him pick it up. I thought, that's interesting. I pulled out my light, and I went click, and right in the middle of the yard, that boy's eyes just went. And he's standing there holding this ball. And all of a sudden, he chucks it down and he goes to look for the bike. And the kid on the bike that was instigating it had left him. Here he was standing in the yard and he's running down the road. Wait for me, wait for me. But the interesting thing is, what transpired was the difference in what they were doing was illuminated by what? Light. That's a comical illustration. But light is something that we as individuals don't like sometimes. Sometimes we want to avoid the light. Because when you're in the light, it illuminates what you're really doing. The motives behind what you're really doing in life. But light is something that is generated from another object. Now I find it interesting that the scientists have figured out that light doesn't just appear all by itself. It has to have... You can start a fire. I started a fire in the house last night. And if you flip the switches off in the fireplace, the light from the fireplace would light the whole living room because there was something being lit. And literally, the light that is being produced, and I'm not this smart, trust me, I studied some of this so I could preach this message, but the factmonster.com or whatever it was said that what is produced is when that fire or that ignition source starts to heat up, it says the electrons within the atom, now we're getting really deep, aren't we, begin to bounce and move and begin to jitter within itself. And when that begins to happen, it is produced into something called a photon. And those photons literally can travel all by themselves. Once the source is ignited, it begins to travel, and it will travel. It doesn't need anything to carry it. Some things, if you have a gas or you have a just a simple atom or something, it has to be carried by something else. But a photon doesn't have to have a carrier. It literally can fly. It can literally move. And the rate that it moves is absolutely amazing. I wrote it down here somewhere. The rate that it actually travels, it was like it travels at 186,400 miles per second is how fast light is traveling. Now that is absolutely amazing. And then I began to think, if that light is ignited and those photons begin to transfer themselves into the atmosphere or the vacuum, as the scholars would like to call it, the vacuum of space. As those photons begin to travel on their own, the only way they are stopped is one of three things. And the first one is opaque. That means the light falls onto a material. Now stick with me. The light falls onto a material, and what's inside that material literally absorbs and eats up the light. If you shine light onto metal, it absorbs the light. It doesn't bounce off. It takes the light and it absorbs into that light. Now, I find that interesting because how often do we as individuals spread the light of God into this world? Or does the light of God hit us? And because of the stuff that we are made of, consumes the light. And there's nothing for anyone else. Because it's very dangerous. We must be very careful to come to church and sit on a pew and hear the gospel of Jesus Christ and learn what it takes to live right and feel God and the presence of God, that we don't take it lightly, because we can get so corrupted with just stuff in life that the light will be consumed in us and literally can give no light to anyone else. The second thing that can happen to that light, and once, keep in mind, when it's opaque, when that light hits something and it absorbs it, that light is gone. It's used up. The light is of no use to anyone else. It cannot be reproduced from that object. The next one, this is the one that I like, is reflection. The light reflects off. If a reflection, a reflective means that light hits something and that will magnify the light and it will send the light out to everyone else. This also can be represented by a piece of glass. You can shine a light on a piece of glass and that light literally will shine right through that piece of glass and it becomes what they call transparent. Now think about this. This is where we as individuals truly should be. Because you can look into something that's transparent and you can determine if there's anything inside that doesn't belong. It literally, inside of us, we become transparent. And when the Spirit of God shines in through our lives and we become transparent, we literally are at the most purest spiritually state that we possibly could be. When we are transparent before God, that actually, literally, inside of us, there's nothing left of us. Think about that. We have literally purified ourselves to where there is nothing to stop the light at all. We are 100% transparent. That is a pure state of a Christian. But think about this. There's another thing called refraction. Anybody know what refraction is? No, I'm not Bill Nye the Science Guy today. But refraction is this. Have you ever looked into a pool of water? And the pool of water looks deeper than it really is. How many people have heard of someone jumping into a pool of water thinking it was deeper, only to find out they broke their neck? Because it looked something different than it really, really was. How can we relate that spiritually? The fact segment that I looked up said when what is happening there is that is called refraction. That is when there are so many different things shooting the light in different directions, it causes an illusion. What you appear to be is really not what you are. That is a state of confusion. And our lives as we go through life, if we are not careful, and I find this is more than often than not, folks that live for God for some period of time, where they've lived for God for a while, and inside their life and their mind, they start questioning things. And instead of going back to the Word of God, they run over and say, "Brother Rodney, what do you think? And Brother Ted, what do you think? And Brother Miller, what do you think? And you've got 15 different answers instead of really going to the source and say, what does the Word of God say? When you get in a state of confusion and you get ideas bouncing all over the place, you know what you're going to get? Confusion. You're going to get something that's going to lead you into an illusion that's really not what you think it is. It's something other than what it appears. And there is a danger to those individuals that have a tendency to live for God but not truly live for God. And it creates an illusion to the world around you. And you know what? You can send into the world mixed signals about what God really is and what God can really do because they see you. But it's really not pure. And it's really not true. And it's really not God. When you really boil it down, it's confusion. Now, I find it very interesting that there is one other type of light, and that is the laser light. Has anybody ever studied lasers at all? I never had until I started looking into this. A laser literally takes a generated light and it bounces the light from side to side until it becomes magnified. That's when they say the power of that laser is determined by how much it is compacted inside. And when it leaves those bouncing off of the objects inside of the laser, the lights literally... The beams literally go in perfect harmony together. You don't have a spread out light, but you have a perfect laser beam that can literally penetrate and shine farther than just a general light. Now, we as individuals, the Bible says we are the light of this world. I hate to break it to us, but Jesus Christ is not going to come through Winnemac on a donkey waiting for the palm leaves to be laid down. He's not going to show up in a convoy of Lincoln Town Cars to bring revival to Winnemac. If this city is going to see the power of Jesus Christ, the only way it's going to see it is if it's magnified and beautified and purified and penetrated through us into this world. That is the only way this city is ever going to see Jesus Christ. And my caution to us today is, what are we going to do with the light? What are we going to do with the light? Matthew 5:14 says, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill that cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Notice that. They said when they see the good works in you, they're going to know that ain't you. And how many can attest to that? Because inside of us, the Bible says, there is no good. If you take Brent in his purest flesh state, you won't like me. And you know what? If you take you in your purest flesh state, most people probably wouldn't like you either. But the reality is, when God transforms you and changes you and you become transparent, I don't want to say you become God, but you become a walking example of what God is. Now think about that. A living, walking example of what God really is and the power of God. When you become transparent and the power of God is shining through you at its brightest state, you can't help but make everything around you become better. Because the power of light is powerful. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything that was made. In Him was life, And the life was the light of men. Notice that. Jesus said, inside of Jesus was life. What was penetrating through that fleshly body was the Spirit of God. That was what was dwelling inside. Jesus said, these miracles that I do, I don't do of myself. But I do of the Spirit that's within me. My Father has sent me to do. He tells me what I should do. This is just flesh. This flesh doesn't get any glory. I am just a transparent, walking figure to demonstrate to you the power of the love of God. Now that is amazing to me. That God would love us that much. It said in him was life, and his life was the light of men. And the light shineth into darkness. Notice this. And the darkness comprehended it not. They couldn't see it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. It said John came to be a magnifier or a reflection or a transparency of the light that was coming behind him. There is power in being transparent. There is a danger in boxing yourself in. And closing in your world. Pulling the covers over your head. Anybody ever done? Anybody had somebody you think sneaking into your house at nighttime? Your natural instinct is to what? Hunker down. Pull the covers over your head and say, honey, go check. We got some amens in here. That's the natural instinct. Son, go see who's at the door. That's a natural instinct. But it's a natural instinct in life to do the same thing. For us to hunker down, pull the covers over our heads and pretend, you know what, everything's going to be just fine. But I got bad news for you, because when you get up in the morning, the problem's still going to be there. It didn't go away. It's still going to be there the next day. Unless you get up and you go deal with the situation, the problem is going to tear you up and it's going to destroy you. But if you can just get up and put a little light on the situation and determine what's trying to harm you and put out those things and determine what is trying to destroy you, there is no way you can defend yourself without putting it into the light. Whether it's in the physical or in the spiritual. Verse 6 says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. John 3:17 says, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth is not condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. This is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. They didn't want the light around, because their deeds were manifest. For everyone that doeth evil hateth light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifest, that they are wrought in God. It's very easy for us as individuals to go to church and go through motions and pretend everything is okay. It's a natural tendency. But really, my question for us is, how much light are we really producing? How much of God does the world really, really see? Because it's easy to say, I'm a Christian. But it's a lot more difficult to be a Christian. It's easy to say, I go to church.
a lot harder to truly be a part of the church. There's a difference.
It's very easy to say, I'm helping to carry the gospel.
But are you really carrying the gospel? Because I contend every single individual under the sound of my voice does one of two things. Because what comes out from this pulpit and the pulpit at Walkerton is light. It's the Word. And the Word of God comes out and it should penetrate your life. It should illuminate the impurities that are in your life. And it is up to you to try to get rid of those things that inside of you, you know, don't belong. And the more of that stuff you get rid of, the more you're going to become transparent to this world that it is not me that you're seeing. It's not the good works that I am doing. It is Him that's moving through me. When those individuals look at you and say, well, why do you get the promotion at work? It ain't because of me. It's because of God. Why do you have a good car? It ain't because of me. It's because of God. And then you start to reflect and divert all of that attention that would be coming to you, that everybody would be saying, you're so smart. All of a sudden you say, no, no, no. It's not me. It's the God that's living inside of me that gives me this. I'm really not a genius. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. That's really all I am. And the Bible says when they see that light in you, they would glorify Him. Because there's no glory in the flesh. And when you walk in the Spirit, the flesh is non-existent. It's just a moving, how do I want to say that? The flesh is just a way to carry the light. It's just a way to let that light be transparent through us and reflect off of us. How many of you have ever, in your days, taken your hand and put it over a light to see if you could completely stop the light? Anybody ever done that before? You put your hand over that light and you can see literally through your hand. You can see the images of bones and you can see the particles that are in your hands. And when the Spirit of God moves through us, when we sit here on a Sunday afternoon and we begin to break the Word of God, there are things exposed within our lives that somehow we as individuals are the only ones that can deal with those things. Nobody else can deal with them for us. But when the light exposes who we are, it is up to us to change those things in our lives. There is one last thing that, and I'm going to be coming to close here in just a couple of minutes. Light in itself. It cannot be produced in itself. So it's very difficult for you to truly be walking in the light without the Spirit of God inside of you. It's one thing to go to church. It's another thing to be a part of connecting to everything that's going on. But it is imperative that the same Spirit of God that was walking in that flesh of Jesus Christ is the same Spirit of God that's got to be living and walking in you. If you don't have the Spirit of God moving and living and inside of you, now think about this. We become a laser for God, literally. Isn't it ironic that the Bible calls it a fire? Shut up inside our bones. It's like a fire that sat up on each of them.
something began to ignite inside. And a light began to spring forth on the day of Pentecost. And it began to spread all across that city. It began to illuminate. And what did it illuminate? What did it cause when the light began to shine up and down, if you want to call it Temple Road that day, on the day of Pentecost? What did it begin to illuminate? What did they ask Peter on that day when the light began to shine? Men and brethren, what must we do? When the light is truly shining through you, it will cause those around you to want and question where their life is at. Because people really don't want to sit in the dark when they really can have the light. They really don't want to be there. But I admonish and I advise us today to seek out and know for fact that the Spirit of God is living in us. They want to come to the music. That the Spirit of God is living inside of us. You say, what does that mean, preacher? Does that mean I go to church 4 times a week? Does that mean I pray 5 times a day? Do I look to the eastern sun and go bow down at certain times of the day? What does it mean to know that the Spirit of God is living inside of me? What does that really entail, preacher? The Bible says, when the Spirit of God moved upon them, they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit of God gave them utterance. You say, what does that mean? That simply means that I am becoming 100% transparent. That means I have purged me of me, and all you see is Him. There's nothing left of me. And when people see that picture of you, they will look at you and say, only God can do that. Only God could create something that beautiful out of something so corrupt. Isn't it ironic that the Bible says, when you go down in a watery grave of baptism, and I think it's a song, actually not the Bible, you become up as white as what? Snow. Have you ever looked at snow? When the beams of light from heaven, the sun, are reflecting off that snow. The beauty of the rays that shoot off in all directions. It illuminates everything around it. But you take some dirt and throw it in that snow, you'll have a dark spot where it should be giving off light. And when God has purified that soul, and you've went down in a watery grave of baptism, and you've had every sin purified and washed away, don't let the clutter and the garbage get back in your life. Keep that stuff out. Protect your mind. Can I tell some young people to protect your spirit? Protect your minds. There are things that the devil is going to try to put in there. If you let them in, it'll destroy you. Can we all stand? Every head is bowed. Every